Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to read verse number 13, which we've been looking at over the last couple of episodes, which says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." We've spent a lot of time looking at the idea of how the members of the body of Christ have a completed word of God, because we have all of the information laid out in Genesis through Revelation. The Apostle Paul identified the fact that he was given the responsibility to fulfill the word of God, which means it was the complete God's word. We looked at the idea of how it is that we're supposed to be studying the word of God, the fact that we're to rightly divide the word of truth, and how these saints in Thessalonica completely understood the fact that they had the word of God. And the Apostle Paul states about how it is the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So it's the word of God that's going to work, that's going to produce a change in an individual. And the only individuals that can truly have an impact on are those who are actually believers. Now, when we talk about that idea of being a believer, we know that that comes from the fact that somebody has put their trust in the gospel message, which is for today. Well, let's go over and read that gospel message. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 to see how the Apostle Paul lays out the gospel message for today. And we're going to read the first four verses here of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So the Apostle Paul received the gospel message. He delivered it unto individuals that way they would be able to receive salvation today. This is the only message that can actually provide salvation, is what we just read here. And especially, you know, verses 3 and 4 lay out what somebody has to believe in order to receive salvation. And so when Paul's talking about the word of God working in those that believe, these are the individuals that have put their trust in this gospel. And when somebody puts their trust in the gospel, there's a number of things that happen immediately when that occurs. We see, for example, let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1. We're going to see what happens to the believer here in Ephesians chapter number 1. We're going to read verses 13 and 14 here, and it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." So the immediate thing that happens to an individual the moment they put their trust in the gospel message is that they are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit functions as a seal, keeping us as a member of the body of Christ. And keeps us as a member of the body of Christ. And there's an "until" here. until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for the church, the event that's known as the Day of Christ, or some people refer to as the rapture. We are all guaranteed, the moment we put our trust in the gospel, that we are sealed, we are kept as a member of the body of Christ until that event occurs. There's nothing that we can do that can break that seal, because there's nothing that can undo the fact that the Spirit is actually the seal that's keeping us in the body of Christ. So, and that's such a glorious thing, because you look at how many individuals really struggle with the fact that they have no idea if they have a guarantee of their salvation. The Apostle Paul makes it perfectly clear for us that we know that we do have that guarantee of our salvation. But there's more that happens when it occurs. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we're going to see something else that happens the moment that we put our trust in the gospel message. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I want to read here verses 12 and 13. And they say, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So we see how the Apostle Paul describes this baptism that occurs, again, the moment we put our trust in the gospel message. This baptism that he's describing here happens to where we are baptized into one body by the Spirit. So the Spirit places us into the body of Christ, and as the Spirit is doing that, it's sealing us, keeping us in that position, so that way we are going to have all of the promises that are laid out for us in Romans through Philemon, and there is nothing that we can do that can take away from those promises, because we have that guarantee of that salvation. Let's go over to Colossians chapter number 2 to again see something that the Apostle Paul is going to identify as being true of the members of the body of Christ the moment they put their trust in the gospel message. And here in Colossians chapter number 2, we're going to read here starting at verse number 11. It says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." So we also see that there is this spiritual circumcision that's identified here, because in God's eyes, the flesh is already dead. And because the flesh is already dead and it's no longer part of who we are, there has to be something that's going to cut it away from us in a positional sense, so that way it's no longer part of who we are. And that's what this circumcision that's made without hands is actually describing, of where the flesh is actually separated from the inner man. Now, that doesn't mean that the flesh doesn't have at least some impact on individuals, because a person can fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but a person can no longer be identified in the things of the flesh the moment they put their trust in the gospel message. And these glorious truths that we're looking at are really showing, you know, what it is that's describing a believer that's having the word actually working in them. I want to go over to Romans chapter number 6 to again look at something that Paul's going to identify here as being the identity that we have the moment that we are a believer. And here in Romans chapter number 6, we're going to start here at verse number 3. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And Paul here, as he's talking about this identity that we have, which again occurs the moment that we put our trust in the gospel message, that we are identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and we have to be identified with all three parts that are being described here, because that's what's going to take care of the issue of sin, is death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when you see over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, towards the end of that chapter, where the Apostle Paul talks about the victory that we have, and it's a victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that victory in him because of what he accomplished on the cross at Calvary. We have that victory because God sees his Son in us. He sees his righteousness. All of these things identifying us as a member of the body of Christ. And it's the members of the body of Christ who are going to have the Word of God actually working in them. And sometimes that's a hard concept for individuals to grasp, because they say, well, how can you say that only the saved individuals can have the Word of God work in them? You know, why can't an unsaved person, you know, actually be able to pick up the Bible and have the Word work in them? And the Apostle Paul clearly identifies why that's the case. And let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, because where you see Paul describe here in this chapter why it is that only a saved person can have the Word of God working in them. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start at verse number 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now we're going to continue on in this chapter in a moment, but you start seeing how Paul is drawing a contrast here between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God, and how he's describing that everything that he's talking about, those that are ministering with him, are communicating the things that are of the wisdom of God, and how the wisdom of man is contrary to this, how the things that Satan and the angelic realm that had followed him, that they had no understanding of the hidden wisdom, which is the mystery program, which we know today has been given to the Apostle Paul, that we find in Romans through Philemon, and how if they had known those things, it says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Instead of pushing for the crucifixion, they would have been doing everything that they could to try to prevent that from happening. Because what they come to find out is that the cross is what creates the total victory for mankind over the issue of sin, because the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is what is needed to take care of the sin issue. But Paul continues on as he's describing this. He's going to start talking about the things of the wisdom and how it's communicated to an individual here. Let's pick up in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now you see Paul, as he's describing these things here, to talk about, you know, who we are as the members of the body of Christ, you see that there's an issue of that we have the Spirit of God inside of us. An unsaved individual does not have the Spirit of God. And so that's why when you start looking at the things that are laid out in, you know, in verse 10 and verse 11 and verse 12 and verse 13, you see why it is that the Word of God can only work in those who are identified as believers, because they have the Spirit dwelling in them. And so the Spirit teacheth an individual what things are contained in the Word of God. And it says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So as a person is studying the Word of God rightly divided, the Spirit can take passages that a person has studied and give an insight into something else that a person is studying based on the information that's already inside of them through their study. You know, and it's like the thing of you see in the old cartoons when somebody gets that, you know, they're thinking about something and then all of a sudden a light bulb appears over their head because they get this brilliant idea that they have. And I'm sure everybody has had this thing where they've been studying the Word of God and, you know, you struggle with some passage, because we all have passages that we struggle with identifying what they mean, because, you know, nobody has a complete understanding of everything in the Word of God. So we all have these passages that we don't know what they mean. And as you're studying, that same type of thing, like that light bulb that went off in the old cartoons, that same thing of where a person is studying things and all of a sudden that also disappears, like the thing of where this brilliant idea comes into your mind of, you know, now I understand, because I can put this verse with that verse and I see now how these two things line up perfectly and I have an understanding of what the Word of God is saying in this passage. You know, and that's coming from the Spirit taking those spiritual things, comparing them to each other, so that way the person has the insight into what the Word of God is actually saying. Now, an unsaved person does not have the Spirit to be able to do that. So the unsaved person, as they're looking at things in the Word of God, they're just looking at them, the Spirit's not teaching them, so they're trying to use their own wisdom to try to make sense of what the Word of God is saying. And because they're trying to use their own wisdom, there's going to be nothing but failure that's going to come about from that, because they do not have the Spirit which can give them the truth of what the God's Word is actually saying to them at the point. That's why it says the natural in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why an unsaved person, when they're looking at the things of the Word of God, it's foolishness unto them. You know, that's why if you look back in chapter number 1 in verse 18, when it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Because the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because the cross is what provides salvation. The cross is what takes care of the issue of sin. It's powerful, but to an unsaved individual, it's foolishness. They don't understand what was really accomplished on the cross at Calvary. And that's why you see how the only way that a person can truly have the insight into the Word of God is to have the salvation that's been given to us first, and then as a result, then start to study. That's why you see what the will of God is. When you look in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 4, where it says, it is God's will that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. A person has to be saved first in order to have the truth come upon them. You know, they cannot understand the truth of God's word without having salvation. That's why you see the things of where the Apostle Paul, as he lays out his epistles, you see how he lays out doctrinal information for a person to be studying, to be gaining an understanding of, and then the end result of it is he moves from here's the doctrine that you need to understand, and now here's the practical things that you need to know of, that if you have this doctrine in you, this is what the end result of that doctrine is going to be. This is how it's going to work out in your life if you have that understanding of doctrine. It's going to work out in your life where it's no longer us who's doing things. It's going to work out in a way, and I'm going to read here Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, of what is actually happening in the life of an individual. And it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life which we live, if we are, you know, living according to the doctrine that's been laid out in Romans through Philemon, if we're applying that spiritual understanding that we're being given, it's no longer us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us that's going to be accomplishing the things that are going to be pleasing unto God. That's going to be the Word actually working in us, because we are having that understanding of what it is that the Word is actually supposed to do in our lives. Now, in our next episode, we will actually start verse number 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. You know, and this week we'll actually be continuing our study looking at 1 Peter and contrasting how Peter, what he's saying, you know, lays out with what the Apostle Paul actually says. And that's what, when we've been studying Peter, that's how we've been looking at it, to try to get an idea of all the things that Peter's saying, how it really is completely different from the doctrine that's for us today, the dispensation of the grace of God. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything on our website, anything in any of our broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.